know the Lord Jesus. The children have been singing about trusting the Lord. And I had the great privilege, though I wasn't aware of it at the time, of having been born and raised in a Christian home with loving parents and hearing the good news of Jesus Christ from my earliest years. But, sadly, I did not come to know the Lord until I was 34 years old. And I've often had people ask me, how could that be? And I've thought about it, and I suppose I could come up with some, speculate about some reasons, but I think the Word of God says it very simply. And it says that the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so as the years went by, as I was a teenager, you know, I thought that if I came to Christ, I'd be missing out on some of the good things in life. I thought that I wouldn't have as much fun. I thought that I might lose some of my good friends. But you know, that really is the devil's biggest lie. Because when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's really living. That's when you have real joy and peace and hope. And there's a songwriter who has said that best. He said, it's only in your will, that's God's will, that I am free. That's when you're really free. Now, when I was 34, I was blessed with a good job. I had a loving wife and two wonderful little boys. But, you know, as those years had passed, I was increasingly realized that I was not, there was something missing in life. I had everything that one could want, and yet I wasn't happy. I didn't have real satisfaction. And it seemed there was just a real void in my life. And you know, boys and girls, the Bible says something about that. It says that we've been created in God's image. And so God wants to have fellowship with us. But sin is what separates us from God. And there's someone who said, Pascal, he was actually the a Frenchman who was invented the calculator, the forerunner of the computer. And he said something that was very important. He said there's a God-shaped vacuum in the human heart. And even 1,500 years before that, the theologian Augustine said, O Lord, our soul will find no rest until it rests in you. Now, that summer, I flew up to Canada to join my family, and I had realized then that the Bible was God's Word. And once I accepted that fact, you know, the Lord Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And then he asked Peter a very personal question. He said, who do you say that I am? And so I realized that I had to answer that question. And that's a question that every boy and girl, every man and woman has to answer. And so when I got off the plane, my three-year-old came running up to me. He said, Daddy, do you want to hear my Sunday school verse? Just 3 years old. And I said, sure. And he said, and you have to realize it's hard for a three-year-old to get his tongue around the word salvation. But he said, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And so I said, thank you, and we went on with the vacation. Well, I realized then that I had to come to a decision. I read through the Bible once, and I believe I read through the New Testament twice. And you know, there was one verse that I couldn't get out of my mind. It's a very interesting little verse. It said, except you come as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot be saved. And I tried to understand what that was all about, but I couldn't. And I think I felt I had to do something on my own. And the Lord has to show us that there's nothing we can do. We just have to accept the finished work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. And so the night before we were going to leave, I was shaving, and the Lord brought an illustration to me. Just around the corner were some steps, and I thought of my son, my three-year-old, how that if he was on the third or fourth step and I held out my arms, you know, he would just trust in a loving father and come into those arms. And at the same time, the Lord brought that verse, "Salvation is of the Lord," to me. My son, my three-year-old Sunday school verse. And there, I simply trusted. That was trusting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the Lord has never failed me in the 32 years since then. Sadly, I have to confess I've failed him too many times. But the Lord Jesus Christ provides a joy, a hope, and a peace that provides a foundation in life that helps you weather the storms of life. And I wonder how I could have stood up to some of them without it. But my prayer this evening is for each of you, youngsters, and older folks as well. If you do not know the Lord, my prayer is that you will trust him this evening and that you will know the one who is the light of the world, the good shepherd, the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and that you'll have him to guide you on life's way. Thank you.
Reward. I cannot give. It's great to see so many here tonight.
And just for the last part of the meeting, we're just going to consider the gospel, and that's what we've been considering with the children all week. And then at night here, the gospel means good news, and that's what it is. It's the best news you could ever hear under the sun, and it comes from above the sun. It comes from the throne room of God. And the good news is that we can be saved. We can be absolutely sure of heaven. Maybe you never heard that before. I don't know. I was 30 years old before I heard that. I didn't know that was possible. It's very possible. And all we have to do is, as we've been hearing tonight through song and verses, is just put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my trust out of everything else and put it in Him. 100%. God knows where our faith is. We all have faith in something. So God says, you take your faith out of everything else, put it all in my Son. As a sinner, put it all in my Son. And God knows what my faith is in. Like He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts, and He knows I'm trusting Him to get to heaven. And the only way to heaven is to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's good news. Saved and sure of heaven. I'm going to read just a few verses and then just speak a little bit on each one as we consider the gospel together. These are very, very well known salvation verses. Salvation is a very simple message. The gospel is a simple message. It's not complicated. And these verses explain simply how we can be saved and sure of heaven. Now, the first reading is Ephesians chapter 2, and verse number 8 and 9. I'm going to read both verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 6, and the last verse of the chapter, is verse 23. For the wages of sin, we all know what wages are, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in the middle of the Bible, Isaiah, I'll just read one verse there. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And the final verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. And there we read, For He saith, God saith, I have heard thee, in a time accepted. I like the way that's worded. In a time accepted. Right now, tonight. This is the time God will accept sinners. The door's closing someday. But tonight it's wide open. I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee, pleaded with thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God will bless the further reading of His precious word. A lady by the name of Fanny Crosby was born in 1820. She had an illness as a child. And inerrantly, by mistake, she was given the wrong medication. And she became blind. And for her entire life, she was blind. We sing sometimes that song by John Newton, Once I Was Blind, But Now I See. Well, her eyes were open. I'm not sure at what age, an early age, I think. She heard the gospel. She heard the good news. You don't need sight to hear. She heard. And that's faith, when I believe and I can't see. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure when she went home to heaven in 1915, her entrance into heaven was a whole lot more exciting than anybody else's. Because now she could see, literally. And the first person she saw would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. She wrote some beautiful hymns. I'm just going to read one verse in the chorus of one she wrote in the opening of this message. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. And the chorus is, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. O come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. He hath done. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished. After the darkness was over, after He paid the penalty for our sins, the word means perfected, complete. It is done. He died for our sins on the cross. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He was a substitute for every single sinner. And He becomes our substitute when I trust in Him. He's the answer. Now, we have this idea, we're sort of ingrained with this idea that to get to heaven, I have to work my way there. Like we say, well, in the world, you don't get something for nothing, you know. And we have this idea that getting into heaven depends on me somehow. How I live, what I do, go to church, different things like that. Hoping to go to heaven. And how marvelous is the gospel? The gospel says, not of yourselves. We read that. How do I get to heaven? Well, God tells us, first of all, how we don't get to heaven. Not of yourselves, not of works. I can't work my way to heaven. Because, the work has all been done. What could I do to remove one sin from me? What could I possibly do? Nothing. But I don't even have to try. Because when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says His blood, the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus, cleanses me from all sin. The moment I put my trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the work's all done. There's no work to do. May God impress this upon your hearts, minds tonight. There's no work to do. This is like the too good to be true news. But it is. It's true. Right in the Word of God, plain and clear. A young man was sitting in gospel meetings a few nights, night after night after night, and God was speaking to him. He realized, the more he heard it, the more he realized, I don't have God's salvation. I'm not saved. Why, those Christians, they're absolutely sure of heaven, and I'm not. So I don't have peace with God. He was so troubled that one night after the meeting, he went to the preacher's house and knocked on his door. The preacher opened up the door, and there he stood, and he looked troubled. He said, please tell me, what do I have to do to find peace with God? The preacher said, you're too late. He said, I'm too late? Too late to be saved? No, he said, no. Too late to do anything. Everything was done 20 centuries ago. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, the young man did. I just believe God. That's how a person is saved. You can be saved tonight in this meeting. It happens all the time. Salvation is in my heart. Acknowledging to God that I'm a sinner, lost, and Lord, tonight is the night. Tonight's the night I believe on You. I trust You as my Savior. I don't want my sin. I don't want it. I want You. Come in and shut the door behind You, Lord. Now, if that came from your heart tonight, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know God says that's the moment you're saved? Does that mean you can be saved tonight in a single moment of time? Well, if God said that's true, then why not believe it? I was saved. I sat down in a chair, April 29th, 1980. God spoke to me mightily. I've been sort of wrestling with this thing, you know, the salvation. I wanted my sin. I couldn't picture myself happy with my sin. Well, of course not. What I didn't realize is that God has something better for me than the things I was doing. But I finally came to the end of myself. I said, enough. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of my life, of me. And so in my heart of hearts, I sat in the chair, and I said, Lord, I didn't say any words. I believe. I know you died for me, and I've had enough of living for Wade LeBlanc. I've had enough of me, enough. I want you. And that moment of time I was saved, it's a miracle. The moment in my heart I turn to Christ, the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence right in your body and never leaves. And a great peace comes over you. Because now I know. I'm not saved because I feel my sins are forgiven. No, no. I'm saved because God says my sins are forgiven. And therefore I feel happy. I feel happy now because God says my sins are gone. There's no work to do. No work whatsoever. The sad thing is, many will say to me in that day, the Lord said, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? They sound like religious people, good-living people. The door's closed, they're outside, and they thought the way to heaven was working. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks solemnly in Matthew 7 and Luke 13 of this scene. Haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name, Lord? Like, you must know me. I was baptized, and you know that I read the Bible, and I prayed a lot, and I went to church, and I sinned. Yes, I know, but I always said I was sorry, and, well, Lord, you know me. And you know what? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. Ye that work. See, if I try to work my way to heaven, I'm sort of saying, well, I don't need Christ. Oh, I know he died, we need Christ, but I gotta do my part. That's an insult to God. It's an insult to him. God is saying over and over again, we're sinners, we're lost, we're helpless, we can't do one thing on our own. I don't have to. There's no work to do. Heaven's door is wide open tonight, friend. Just open up your heart as wide as heaven's gate is open and receive the good news, the truth, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no work to do. That great escape artist, his name was Houdini. Fascinating to read about the man. We don't know how he did it, but he didn't get out of any jam whatsoever. They put locks on him and put him down the bottom of a river. No key or anything. He'd come right up to the top again in a minute. He's this amazing man, an escape artist. Put him in a penitentiary, solitary confinement. No one knows how, but he did. He'd get out of there within 5 minutes. Out of the solitary confinement, open the gates of the ward, and stand before the warden's desk. And how do you do? The great Houdini. Well, an interesting incident in his life was this. He was in a little town in England, and the people found out he was staying there. And they thought it would be a great tribute to have the great Houdini break out of their prison. Of course, he could do that. It was a jail, that's all it was. And so, he said, all right, I'll do that for you. No problem. So he's inside the jail, and the whole town is there. They're all waiting for him to come out. And the wife put a big plaque in honor of him. Houdini broke out of our jail, and so on. But they waited, and they waited, and they waited. He never came out. And they waited. What's going on? It's just a little jail. He's in there working away, whatever he did with that lock. And finally, the door opened. When he's exhausted, sat down and leaned against it and opened it right up. He was trying to unlock the door. It wasn't locked. It wasn't even locked. All that work was for nothing. And that's what so many people are doing today. Working and working and trying, oh, I hope I go to heaven. Well, the door, not only is it not locked, it's wide open. I am the door, said the Lord Jesus. I'm the door to heaven. It's not that religion or that one or that one. I am the door, and by me, if any person enters in by faith, he shall be saved. Well, if you'd enter in tonight, could you not take God at his word and tell somebody you're saved? Could you not do that? I've been doing it for 27 years. And there are times I don't feel like a Christian. And there are times I don't feel close to God. But I'm not going to heaven because of how I feel. I'm going to heaven because of what God said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, I believe God that it shall be, even as it was told me. I have no doubt in my mind that I'm leaving my body one day and I'm going to heaven. And I'll see the blessed Savior. I'm as sure of heaven as though I was already there. Because I believe God. You can be saved tonight. There's no work to do. There's no price to pay. Everything in this world has a price, doesn't it? The other day the phone rang. 2 weeks ago, I was at home. And it was a recording. One of those companies. Recording said this. I'm listening to his voice. Congratulations! Well, you've just won a free trip on a cruise. Click. I hung it up. No, I didn't. Oh, it sounds good, doesn't it? But there'll be a but. There'll be a but in there. I mean, if everybody in the town I live won a cruise, they need about 20 cruise ships to hold us all. But everybody got the message. It's not free. But you know what God says? My salvation, it is the gift of God. A gift. We can relate to a gift. You see how simple God brought these great spiritual truths down to a level that even children can understand? It's a gift. What do I have to do to make a gift mine? Well, I've got to receive it. I'd like to agree that that's my name on the gifts. You know, my name's Wade, and I saw some name on there, Zachariah or something. I'd say, well, I don't know if it's for me or not. There's somebody else's name on it. But if it said Wade, well, I have no problem. Thank you. I take it. Well, this gift has a name on it. And you can't get it until you say, yes, that's my name. It says sinner. A sinner. Now, would you agree tonight, my friend, that that's what we are? We're sinners. God says, now when you get to that point in your life, then you'll understand how much I love sinners. I say, yes, it's for me. He died for sinners, he died for me. And I'll receive the gift. And what is the gift? Well, it's the gift of salvation. Assurance of heaven. Eternal life. It is the free gift of God. There was a man who was trying to go to heaven, working, hoping. He came to hear some gospel meetings. He never heard the like before. He's starting to clue in now. Oh, I can't work my way to heaven. There's Mr. Moody preaching. And he, one night when he saw the truth, he was so excited, he kind of forgot his surroundings. And right while Mr. Moody's speaking, he leaped to his feet. Oh, it's wonderful, he said. I always thought I had something to do. But now I see I have something to take. And he looked around. Oh, he sat down in his chair. And he was so excited. That's the moment he was saved. Well, you can be saved tonight in the same way. In your heart of hearts, say, Lord, I believe. I believe. No work to do, no price to pay, and no distance to travel. There's no distance to travel to go anywhere to be saved. Call ye upon him while he is near, Isaiah said. Well, how near is he? Would you believe that tonight he's right outside your heart's door? You should believe it. I hope you believe it, because God said so. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, my heart stirred tonight. He says, open the door. Revelation 3:20, open the door of your heart. By faith, believe in me. And he says this, I will come in. He'll come in. He'll see you right where you're at in your seat tonight. Muslims travel to Mecca. Hindus go to the Ganges River, sacred mountains, and so on and so on. And I've got to go to church almost every Sunday. I've got to go. I've got to do. God says, wait, will you stop? There's no work to do. There's no price to pay. And there's no distance to travel. I left heaven above and came down to this scene from glory to gloom to die for you on the cross. Well, if Jesus died for me, is that not enough proof that he wants me to be saved? What more does he have to do? What more could God do? He died for our sins on the cross. Well, he says, now come. You've got to come or you can't get into heaven. May God impress it upon your mind and heart tonight. Friend, you can't get to heaven. He sang it with the children. Without salvation. You've got to be saved. There's got to be a moment in your life. Maybe tonight, during the meeting, in the quietness of your heart and mind perhaps, maybe after we're done and the piano's playing softly, in that moment, it's not your emotions that God's seeking to reach. It's your mind, your intellect. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Understand I'm a holy God. And I can't let you into heaven with your sins. I can't do it. I'm a just God. But you don't have to die in your sins. Trust in my Son, your sins are gone. There's no distance to travel. There was a man similar. He brought up in the gospel and decided he'd put it off. After a while, he forgot about it. He's a diver, a professional diver, and he lives in Australia. Well, God spoke to him in a mighty way. This is a true story. He's down on the bottom of the coral reef, and he sees a piece of paper, it looks like, and it's just sort of waving back and forth in the water. He swims over to it, through his goggles. Well, there's a clam. Piece of paper is being held by the clam. And it's a gospel tract. A gospel tract just simply explains the way of salvation. Can you imagine how he felt? He picked it up. What a moment it was for him. He read it. He was crying inside the goggles. I don't know if he could see very well, but those were tears of joy. Oh God, I thank you. Wasn't God so good to him? He was saved at the bottom of the ocean off of Australia. There's no distance to travel. You can be saved anywhere. You can be saved right here. I understand that man has the empty clamshell and the tract on his mantle. You can bet he shows everybody who comes into his house. Let me tell you a story. Well, God wants you to have a story as well. August 25th, 2006, I was sitting in a little gospel meeting. I came to hear the children or something, but you know what happened? Something marvelous happened. God opened my eyes of understanding. And I stopped struggling. I stopped trying, and I put my faith in Christ, and that's the night I was born again. That's the night I got my assurance of heaven. Oh, what a wonderful story that would be. No work to do. No price to pay. No distance to travel, and finally, there's no time to lose. No time to lose, friend. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Perhaps for somebody here tonight, perhaps even me. I won't even see tomorrow. That's possible. That's why God says, understand. It is appointed unto man once to die. I don't know when. We have doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and so on. Well, we know. We look at our calendar and we see the date and the time. But this is an appointment. We're going to keep it whether we want to or not. And we don't know the day. We don't know the time. That's why God says, now understand, there's no time to lose. Come now. Tonight, if God speaks to your heart, come now unto him. The turtle and the rabbit, tortoise and the hare. The old slow turtle won the race. Why did the fast rabbit lose? Because he thought he had lots of time. And he didn't. He lost. We don't know if we have lots of time. Man knoweth not his time. It falls suddenly upon him. Ecclesiastes 9:12. One day the door's closing. It's open wide right now, tonight. You can be saved tonight. I am the door, he said. It's wide open. It's such a tragedy, you know, that men and women listen to a message like this and don't come to him. They don't come to him. They go back home, back to their life, without Christ. Now one day the door is going to close. I will come again. We feel in our bones as God's people, he's even at the door. And friend, when that door closes, there's no hope for you. That's why we urge you to come now. There's no time to lose. This is a little story about a frog. Kids will appreciate the story, I'm sure, but a frog. A bunch of frogs around the pond. It's in the fall, early fall. Oh, the flies are thick. Lots of mosquitoes. You can watch those tongues going out and in, out and in, out and in. Oh, they're having a fine time eating flies and mosquitoes and so on. One frog in particular, he's very good. He's got the fastest tongue and the longest. Coolest fly. This frog thinks he's going to get it. And he got it. He's pretty proud of himself, too. Getting big, fat. Well, it's starting to get cold. Well, the other frog, all the frogs knew, we can't stay here. Freeze to death. So God put that in them. Of course, God created the frogs. They know what to do. They all hop into the lake and they go down somewhere, I guess. I'm not sure. I've never been down there with them. I don't know what they do, but they go in the muck or something and they survive the winter. Well, this big fat frog, you know, he's kind of proud of himself. And he's enjoying himself. Go ahead, you guys. I'll be along. So lots of flies. More for me. I'll be down. I'll join you there in a bit. Well, finally he's all by himself. It's getting kind of cold. Guess I better go down and join my friends. So he takes a big leap one morning to go in the water. And no splash. Bang. It was ice. He waited too long. These two boys were walking to school. They looked out. They knew exactly what happened. One of them laughed and said, "My, what a foolish frog." Now that story's for a lesson, friend. You know, tonight you can come. But don't take for granted tomorrow. Don't do that. Don't trifle with your soul. Come tonight. There's no time to lose. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.